With the help of the Lord, we're going to try to finish chapter 2 today, James 2, and we're beginning at verse 14, and I'll start on 14, you join with me on the odd-numbered verses, and we'll all read verse 26 once we get down there. James 2, 14 to the end of the chapter. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way, and everyone again? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. May God bless the reading of his word. I'll pray, and then you can be seated. And I would ask you once again to pray that you would receive the message from the Lord. Ask him to help you apply it to your life. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done already this morning. Now, though, we come to your word, the Bible. There is no book like it. There is no writing like it, for it is inspired. God, you breathed it. It's alive. May God, today you use your word by your spirit to convict those that are lost, who could be here this morning with dead faith. May they recognize that if that be the case. And may help us all to apply your word today by your Spirit's help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. I'd like to speak to you this morning on this theme, and it's the theme that is asked two times in this particular passage. A few things are repeated, but there is a question that is asked by James, and that is, what doth it profit? What doth it profit? The book of James was written originally to Jewish believers. Some of these things we have said over and over, but it's good that we recognize them and hear them repeatedly at times. We believe that the book of James was the first book written in the New Testament, which I believe makes sense because that's who really was getting saved at the beginning. The church was primarily comprised of Jewish believers. So I have some questions for you to meditate on as by way of introduction. The first one is, should biblical salvation profit us? Now, when we say profit, we're not talking about pulling out, you know, a wad of $100 bills. So don't think that way. Nothing wrong with having a profit, especially if you run a business or you're in business at whatever you do, that you want a profit, of course, in your home, so forth. We're not talking about that. Does it benefit us? Should biblical salvation be more than just a ticket to heaven? Think about this now. Should biblical salvation result in a new way of living? Now, I'm saying biblical salvation is very key that you don't miss that word. Because even James said, you believe there's one God?
That's great. So do the devils.
Should biblical salvation be identified simply by saying, I have faith? James asked a lot of questions in this text. If you didn't catch that, I'm sure you did. And they are there for you and I to consider, what does this mean for our life? I mean, it was written to these early Jewish believers that were scattered abroad. We learned that in the beginning of James chapter number 1. But, you know, what does it mean for 2026? What does it mean for your name today, whatever your name is? Aren't you glad God knows your name? Aren't you glad God knows your situation in life today? I may not know your situation, but God does. Nobody walked in these doors here today and God said, oh, I haven't seen them in a while. Oh, I don't know what's going on in their life. No, that doesn't happen. God knows you. God knows me. God knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And God loves us. I'm so thankful for that. So what does this mean for me? All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. Now, I'm going to go to a, I'm going to quote a psychologist, so just hang on. His name is Dr. Alfred Adler. That doesn't really matter, but I want to give credit to whom credit is due because I believe this will help you understand. And he's got a theory about psychology, and here's what he says. Trust only in movement. Life happens at the level of action. He goes on to say, we are not what we say. This is not a Baptist preacher. This is a psychologist, okay? We are not what we say, but we are what we do. We just read all those verses, and this helps us a little bit. He says, what we do is the real key to our intentions. And then he repeated himself, trust only in movement. What is he saying? He's saying we don't trust only what we say. We trust our behavior. We don't just believe somebody's sayings. I have faith. Okay. When we really see faith is not from here, it's from what we do. Verse 14 says, what doth it profit, my brethren? And you know, I've read these verses so many times in my life. I made that statement yesterday in discipleship, and it's amazing how God's word, it just comes alive. And it's different every time you read it. Thank you. Okay? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say? And I don't know why, but that little three-letter word was like flashing in neon lights. Say. Say. If he says he has faith, say. And I just was like flashing, flashing, flashing. What profit is there in just saying I have something? Okay. All right. James wrote to Christians from a Jewish background that discovered the glory of salvation by faith. Now, lest you think for a minute here that I'm preaching a message contrary to what Paul wrote, there is no contradictions in the Word of God. The Word of God explains itself. We're going to talk about that. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. But that's living faith, not dead faith. You saw dead faith in this text. That's what the Bible said. Did everybody see that? Whew. Boy, I tell you what, we got to really sit on the edge of our seat and listen. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you this because there could be someone in here today. I'm not trying to get anybody doubting their salvation. But we see there is living and dead faith. I didn't say that. The Bible does. So examine yourself. We read that in the Bible somewhere too, right? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. again, I'm not going to keep quoting the psychologist, but he said, we don't go by what we say. He said, we go by the action. They knew the exhilaration, this quote, they knew the exhilaration of freedom from works righteousness. Because they had been told for their whole life, you got to keep the law, you got to keep the law. We even read that if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So they were glad to be free from this. But they then went to the other extreme of thinking that works didn't matter at all. Am I able to move around, Brother Kevin? Because I'm going to move a little bit here. Not too far. Lest we think, oh, I prayed a prayer, and so I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to do anything for God. I'm not really sure if that attitude is saving faith or dead faith, but I will tell you what I think it is. You can get that and maybe a half a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I think it's dead faith. Because living faith will not say that. Living faith will not say, I got saved, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Living faith will say, now what can I do for God? Living faith will say, now what about Ben Turner needs to change? Living faith will say, now what sin in my life needs to be confessed and forsaken? What needs to be done with my life? Because now I'm a new creature. Living faith. I think we might have churches filled with dead faith members even. Ouch. It's right there. We can't ignore it. Okay, let's go through this text. Number one, biblical faith is more than a statement. I think we've already mentioned that, but I'm going to say it. Biblical faith is more than a statement. In other words, he said it twice. It's in verse 14 and it's in verse 18. If a man say. So it's not just what I say. I am not saved because of what I do. I am not saved by works. But Ephesians 2:10 says, if I am saved, I will work. Let's go to Matthew 8. I don't know why, but God just, all week long, and even last week, knowing this was, you know, reading through these passages, and I've actually preached from this before. I don't remember how long ago it was, but I have. But this time through, God's just really been, I've been meditating a lot on this thought of dead faith, living faith. First I needed to examine myself in the mirror, right? Because even a preacher can say a lot. And that doesn't mean he's saved because he says a lot. You know, there's a lot of people that stand up behind pulpits or across Vancouver today. They might be saying something, but that doesn't mean they're saved. So it's not about what I say. In other words, if somebody were to ask you a question like this, how do you know you're on your way to heaven? How would you answer that? I've really been thinking about this. Because the patented answer, Matthew chapter 8, we'll get there. The patented answer is, you know, the independent Baptist answer is, I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my faith. By the way, nothing wrong. That's for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But are we really knowing we're on our way to heaven because we prayed a prayer? Is that how we really know? Just because we said something? I think it should go way deeper than that too. Well, you know, I mean, that's fine. I accepted that Jesus Christ is my Savior for me when I was 9 years old. And you know what? God has continued to make a difference in my life. I am not perfect. I am still a work in progress. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And you know what? I get convicted when I sin. I get convicted when I have fear. I get convicted of this. I get convicted of that. God has done this in my life. I know I'm saved. A lot more to it than just saying, I prayed a prayer, got dunked under the water, which has nothing to do with salvation. Living faith. What did you get? Did you get living faith? Faith comes from the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. Okay. Matthew 8:29 says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Well, what do you know? Some demons know who Jesus is. These devils even know he's the Son of God. Mark that down, because there's people that are religious today that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And these devils do. They said it. Look, they said it. You can tie that right back to James. If a man say, these demons said it. Do you think you're going to be standing next to these demons in heaven someday? By the way, the answer is no. You're not going to be. They already gave up. They already gave it up when they left and followed Lucifer outside of heaven when he wanted to be like the Most High. There's no hope for these devils. But they said something that was true. Think about it. They said something that was true. Jesus, you're the Son of God. True statement. But do they have... So they have faith. Dead faith. Dead faith. So they won't be in heaven. Why? Because their life never changed. So it's evident. We can say that's not why they're saved, but it's evidence. All right? Let's look at Acts 16. Why do some people act the way they do, but yet they say they're Christian? That's the problem. They say. S-A-Y. That's all it is a statement. Dead faith. Period. End of sentence. I wish I would have preached this when I was 35 years old. I really do. But God's long-suffering even with pastors. Because I don't want to pastor a church and me go to heaven someday, and we all get caught up in that great rapture that we'll talk about, we continue to talk about, and we know it's coming, Acts 16. I don't want there to be anybody, and I know it's impossible to say everybody, but I want as few as possible under the sound of this voice that takes the Word of God. I'm just saying what the Word of God says. That would sit here and sit here and sit here and sit here and sit over there in those other places that we met, and when we get our new building someday. Amen? Amen? Amen! Sit in that new building someday when it happens. Not if, but when it happens. And yet sit in there comfortably and sit here comfortably and sit there comfortably and die and go to hell. Because your faith was dead. Not alive. You will not go to heaven with dead faith. You will not. Jesus, you're the Son of God. That's what the devil said. If you have very little to no desire to read the Word of God, now I'm not saying people can't backslide. They can. They can. I have plenty of examples in my own family. And you know what? We all backslide from times, okay? I'm not trying to put somebody up and down and all that. I'm just trying to say, I think God's really helped me understand the reason why some people, because they have dead faith. Which means they're dead in Christ. They're dead still. They need to come alive. Because it's not what I say. Okay. Acts 16. I hope you're being helped by the Lord. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men saying, do you see it there? There it is again. 1617. It was a great year in history. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. 400 years ago. They cried saying, there it is, underline it, saying. Take it back to James 2. These men are servants of the Most High what? God. They even knew. They even said, God is almighty. He's all powerful. They said it. Which show unto us the way of salvation. But yet they weren't Christian in the sense of it was just something they said. Devils believe, but that doesn't change their behavior, because I believe that belief changes our behavior. So the question is, who are we believing in? Are we believing in a prayer that saved us, a tank that got us wet? Are we believing in we're a Baptist? Are we believing in a church membership? Or is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and that living faith will make us a changed product? Not perfect until we get our new body, amen? New body's coming, 6'4", it's coming, Miss Ross, 6'4", I'm getting one of those. I've already put in for it. 6'4", 195 pounds, basketball in my hand on the way up, dunk it on the way up, boom, right there. I've never dunked a basketball. I've dunked a lot of donuts, but never dunked a basketball. That's why I'm not. Anyway, we'll just keep going. Glorified body. Come on, you can have a sanctified imagination. It's okay. We need to have a little bit in this kind of a message. Got to laugh a little bit because the sword's coming in and it's hurting. That's what this is, by the way. I'm not a sword. This is the sword. It's been cutting on me. I hope it's cutting on you today. Back to verse 14 of our text. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Can the faith of someone who only says they have faith save him? I thought about entitling this message, All Talk, No Action. But I decided not to say that. I just said it now, though. May God help me, may God help you in 2026 not to be just saying. Saying should lead to doing. If it's alive in you. That doesn't mean we all do the same thing, the same time, the same this, the same that. You are gifted, you have a spiritual gift. If you are saved, you have a spiritual gift. If you've had genuine living faith, then you have a gift. At least one. All right, number two. Number one, we said biblical faith is more than a statement. Number two, biblical faith leads to action. Biblical faith leads to action. We find that in verses 15 to 21. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute, so he's going to give them a nice illustration here. Aren't you glad God's word has illustrations? It's okay to illustrate things. Let's stay with the Bible, but it's okay to illustrate at times. Even God, even Jesus illustrated. But here's an illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, there it is again, I've circled that word, by the way, I've circled it in verse 14, in verse 16, and verse 18. We got a lot of people that say things in the church here in Jerusalem. Depart in peace. You know, Manuel's deep voice. Manuel, your voice is deep, brother. Woo! I need that voice. Bottle that up and have a voice transplant, you know. So, in the voice of Manuel, I'm trying to do here today. Now, thank you for reading, Manuel. Thank all of you. I mean, I held that boy when he was just a few hours old. If you'll excuse me, and now he's up here reading the Word of God. Let's keep going for God. Amen. Take a deep breath and go on for God. And one of you saying to them, depart in peace. That sounds like a nice thing to say, right? It didn't say depart in anger. You know, You know, just leave and be mad, you know. Depart in peace.
Be ye warm.
You can almost hear the Pharisaical voice.
Be filled,
you know. Hey, last time I checked, just walking out of a building doesn't fill up my stomach, all right? Got to have some food. Walking out of the building doesn't make me warm. Got to have a coat. Notwithstanding, ye give them not. There's the action. One guy says, hey, have a great day. Go in peace. Be warm and have a full tummy. But another person, instead, he says, instead, you didn't give them what they needed. Because if we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, going back to other passages in James, what are we going to do? We're going to love our brother too. It's the first and second commandment. The royal law, remember the royal law? We talked about it a few weeks ago. So we have to think about it all in context of what's happening here. And then he says, what doth it profit? There it is, end of verse 16. What does it profit to say, go out and be full, go out and be warm, go out and have peace? What is the profit? We know the answer to that. It's nothing. There is no profit. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it's right there. It's dead. Notice the next two words, being alone. I just wrote this down simply in parentheses, I don't know, a long time ago, by itself. I mean, that's what it means, right? So, living faith would try to, if there was an ability to do this, living faith would say, okay, now I can't meet all those needs, but I can give you a ride somewhere. Or, you know what, I can pay for a meal. Or, you know what, hey, let's stop right here. Let's sit down. Let's pray about this. Let's see what God might have us do. Or, you know, I can do something. And it's just an illustration that James is giving. Living faith says, okay, Lord, I need to do something for this person. Why? Because I know that my faith is alive, and I know what Christ has done for me, and this leads to action. So it's called faith that's alive is always accompanied by works. Not to have living faith, it's because I already have it. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. As in two things separate here. Show me thy faith without thy works. By the way, that's impossible. You can't do it. Because faith is not just saying. Faith is living. Faith is doing. Faith is going, praying, changing. Not to be saved, but because we are. You know, it could be why there are many professing believers who do not possess the Holy Spirit of God. They just profess, and what they have is actually dead faith, and so they cannot grow. You cannot grow with dead faith. You can say what you have, and by the way, you know what? If you say it, I'll take it at face value. But then your actions and my actions are going to reveal what is the truth. Again, I don't want you to leave here doubting your salvation. That's not the point. The point is today that there are two faiths. Right here. Thy faith without thy works. Notice, I will show thee my faith by my works. That's it right there. That's it. All talk, no action. It can't be in the church. Yeah, we do need to speak for God, but we need to live for God. Mm-hmm. Thou believest that there is one God, verse 19, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So there's emotionalism. Let's just get emotional about this. And if I'm emotional, it means I'm a Christian. No, I bought a pack of stuff at Safeway the other day. You know what it's called? Baloney. Emotionalism doesn't make me a Christian. By the way, I've cried more in the last 3 years of my life with this issue. I don't know, it affected me in some way even more. I cried anyway before that. I mean, you know, but now it's just like, oh man, he's just crying like a baby. Does that mean I'm spiritual? No, it's okay to cry. It doesn't mean anything. You know, emotion is fine. Jesus wept. I'm not saying emotion is bad, but emotion is not an indicator of my spirituality or my salvation. Again, just take it up with James, so you have to take it up with God. Thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man? Ooh, vain man. That works, that faith without works is, there it is again. It's dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Abraham had living faith. And we know he had living faith because he obeyed God. Did he always obey God? Yes or no? No. We can talk about how he didn't obey God too. This isn't talking about sinless perfection. But this is talking about when God said, Abraham, that son that I said was your heir, I want you to take him up on the mountain and I want you to kill him. Sacrifice him for me. So they packed up. They began the journey. Isaac, I don't think Isaac knew anything about it at first. But it got to a point where Isaac says in the text there, he says, you know, Dad, this is a great idea we have here today. We're going to sacrifice an animal, you know. I mean, this is in the Hebrew. It's in the, between the lines there. And, you know, we're going to do all this. But, you know, we've got all this. But where's the lamb? And Abraham's faith, because it was alive. By the way, you read the Hebrews, and you'll find that Abraham even believed that he would actually bring him back to life if necessary. Abraham said, Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. You know how Abraham could live that way? Well, he was called the friend of God. You know, not very many people in the Bible had that said about them, by the way. What a tag. Friend of God. Maybe he had it on his desk at work. Friend of God. But Abraham had faith to obey God. His faith was not dead. His faith was alive. And it meant that he would obey God in the most difficult decision of his life. The knife is up. Now I also believe that Isaac submitted to his father. Don't think for a minute that Isaac couldn't have walked down off that mountain if he didn't want to lay down on the altar. I believe he was plenty strong enough to say, Dad, you know, too many anchovies on the pizza last night. I'm going home. I'm not going to be killed up here. So there's some faith there. Abraham, don't do that. Look over there. And we know the Bible says there was a ram caught in a thicket. And we know the symbolism and all the pictures there. But Abraham's faith was revealed in Abraham's action. Let's go to Exodus 14. Biblical faith leads to action. Let me give you a couple of quick examples here. Exodus chapter 14. Let's look at something here quickly. Thank you for listening. God's Word, Exodus 14. Let's read 14 and 15.
The Lord shall fight for you.
Amen.
And ye shall hold your peace.
Notice.
And the Lord said unto Moses, just get the picture here. Wherefore criest thou unto me?
Verse 14, 15. You know what? When I read that,
God says to Moses, and in other words, why are you praying? This is not the time to pray. You say, what? Read the rest of the verse. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go what? Forward. Hey, Moses, stop talking unto me. Go forward. Advance. In other words, biblical faith leads to action.
Yes, we have to pray. Believe me, you've heard about prayer a lot around here. We emphasize it. But there are, God says here to Moses, what are we talking? Why are we talking right now?
It's not time to talk. It's time to move.
Biblical faith leads to action. Turn over to Joshua chapter 7. Again, you can find that Moses wasn't perfect at all. I mean, but Moses was used of God. And I'm so glad we have all these biblical examples. Not perfect, but used of God. Because their faith wasn't just saying something. Joshua chapter 7. A terrible sin has taken place. They've gone into Jericho. Walls came tumbling down. Remember? And the walls came tumbling down. The walls came down. Great victory. Not supposed to take anything. It's all of the Lord, because the first always belongs to the Lord. The first of everything belongs to the Lord, by the way. My paycheck, first tenth, goes to the Lord. Not Canada, the Lord. Nothing else, to the Lord. And I believe this is not a picture necessarily of tithing, but it's a picture of what belongs to God. And the first always belongs to God. But Achan, unfortunately, Achan had a problem. And I got to fast forward ahead. But Achan didn't follow the directions. Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Here it is again. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Let's go. Right? This is not the time. Why? Verse 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. You can pray and pray and pray, but there's sin. Biblical faith leads to action. So, biblical faith will lead me to be very repentant in my life. Repentance is not just for salvation. Repentance is a whole journey all the time. Why? Because I'm living in a body that still wants to sin. Do you have one of those? Or is it just me? Okay, good. There's one in the back. Okay, good. We got two sinners in the room today, all right? I think we got a few more than that. So, that doesn't mean fatalism, where, you know, oh, I'm going to sin because I'm going to, that's not how we live. But when we do sin, we've got to get that dealt with. We can't keep living in this stuff. Because he says, if you don't deal with it, look what it says. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing. Faith leads to action. So, is there something in your life today, my life today, that is keeping God from doing a great work?
You know what I say today? Repent. Get it dealt with. Repent to God. Change the way. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And maybe you're so far into it, you can't hear the Holy Spirit's voice anymore. I know I'm kind of combining two things right now. Stay on this thing of faith, dead faith. But I got to go down this trail a little bit. We talked about it yesterday as well in discipleship, that if a believer says no to the Holy Spirit so many times, over and over again, eventually the believer will not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of them saying, change, do this, don't go over there, do this, because they can't hear the Spirit anymore. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's me in an area of my life. No one here is up here spiritually or down here necessarily, but God knows you and God knows me. I'm saying, He says here, it's time to get it right. It's not even time to pray. Wow. Please know my heart. I love to pray. We should pray without ceasing. But God is saying here, get off your face and get it right. Don't come down to the altar. Get it right. He's saying, you don't want anybody to come down. No. Follow the logic. Please come to the altar if God wants you to. But you know what's far greater than that is getting it right with a holy God who, by the way, loves you, loves me, loves us. Boy, chew on that for a little bit. God is good. Okay. Yeah, God says to Joshua, why are you on your face? Sin is in the camp. You were undefeated when the walls came down. You sent a small group of people to Ai. I mean, here we go. Anyway. Ai lives again, huh? Okay. And you only sent a small group, and you know why you came back with dead soldiers? Sin in the camp. Let's get it right. Faith, biblical faith leads to action. Let's go back to James. And let's see, there's evidence in verse 18 to prove it. He said, I will show thee my faith by my works. Moving along. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified? Yes, he was obedient. J. Vernon McGee, have you ever heard of that fella? I don't necessarily agree with everything anybody says, including myself sometimes. You know, I go back and listen to some of my preaching. It wasn't like it was heretical, but it's like, man, why did I say that? Could have said that a lot differently. But J. Vernon McGee, he has a lot of good things to say. Here's what he said. Faith has to be a working faith. Saving faith is alive. This just dropped me in my tracks. We've got today a lot of so-called professing. This was on one of his audio programs, by the way. We've got today a lot of so-called professing Christians. They are members of churches, but they are zombies. Walking around as if they are alive, but they are dead. Pardon me for bringing a zombie into church analogy, but I think it fits very well. Could that be someone here today? Could be. Please let the Holy Spirit of God, convict us all. Lastly, I must give you this. Again, we've been talking about these. Number three, biblical faith will always be seen. Not sometimes, not most of the time, always. It's impossible to hide it. We used to sing a little song in the bus route that said, Jesus' love is a bubbling over, something like that. Well, biblical faith will bubble over. It will bubble over. Interesting two analogies that James gives. Of course, God is perfect in the way he does things. But he gives two analogies. Abraham, a Jew, in our text. Rahab, a Gentile. And he uses both of these examples to say that biblical faith will be seen. Now, I want you today to think of an apple tree. I really love apples. Maybe you do too. We have a lot of good apples here, and at Okanagan. If you've never been over there and had one, plan a trip to go over there and grab an apple. I remember going up to Kelowna and taking our kids up to the farms and picking some apples a long time ago. So we got a lot of good apples around here. Where is the life of an apple tree? Well, I think most of us understand it's not visible. It's the roots that go way down in, right? Without good roots, you're not going to have a very good tree. Now, we have the roots, and then underneath the bark of the tree, we have a trunk, right? That bottom. Not very, you know, not very edible. I've never really chewed on apple tree bark, but it's important. The roots are very important. Have anybody ever sauteed apple tree roots? Probably not. Okay. The life is not in the apples. The life is in the roots. But the life will be displayed by the apple. That tree's alive. And you know how I know that tree's alive? Well, some leaves come. Yesterday I saw, my first time anyway this season, cherry bud blossoms. Maybe they've been out and I missed them, but I saw them. I think it was on 16th. Wow, look at those cherry bud blossoms. November 28th. You know what that tells me? That tree's alive. Living. Follow the analogy? Well, there goes a Christian. I don't see any fruit. Life is not visible, but life is displayed by the fruit. What doth it profit? What doth it profit? You came to church on the Lord's Day. Praise the Lord. We should be in church on Sunday. Should be back tonight. The Lord's Day, not the Lord's morning. If the church you're in has two services, be in both. But even if you come to all three, I ask you, what doth it profit? If a man say he has something, but there's no apples, what kind of faith do you have today? James says it's possible to have dead faith. Which I don't believe is saving faith. Saving faith is alive. Could be you're not saved. That's something you're going to have to talk to the Lord about. But I know this, if you are saved and you're not living for God, you're going to be very miserable. If you can live comfortably in sin, I would really check my salvation, because there's no such thing as a believer who can live comfortably in sin. Impossible. Because you have the Spirit of God in you who is holy. If you're constantly living in sin, which is unholy, the Holy Spirit of God is going to chasten you. And if you're not being chastened, I'm not saying this to be make you scared or whatever. It doesn't even matter. I'm not here to win friends and influence people necessarily. I do want you to like me, but I want you to love this more than liking me. Amen. Someone can live in sin over and over and over and over again and have no conviction. Again, backsliders happen. We saw the prodigal son. You see the prodigal son. He was still, I mean, I believe the picture there is someone who went away from God and came back to God, and the father was right there to take him in. I understand that too. But I also understand that living faith will have something on display. Not for the sake of the individual, but for the sake of the one who provides the sunlight, for the sake of the one who provides the rain, for the sake of the one who provides that tree with the nourishment, the dirt on the ground. Farmer never went out and made dirt. God gave the farmer the dirt. God gave the farmer the sunshine. God gave the farmer the rain. God gave the farmer everything that he needed. And then that tree, or gave the tree everything that he needed. And then, oh, there it is, beautiful piece of fruit. When the tree gets sick, do you know what the farmer does? He applies some medicine, or he trims back some branches, or he tries to keep that thing. Everybody gets sick. I'm talking about sin. Okay? Sometimes some stuff growing on the tree. Got to figure out how to get that off of there, because the apples are starting to have blotches on them. They're still fruits. It's just not very pretty, and it doesn't taste very good. Doesn't mean the tree gets cut down necessarily right away. Let's get this thing to the tree doctor. Joshua, it's not time to be on your face. It's time to get the sin out and clean it out and get it dealt with. Moses, come on. You know, church today, maybe you are saved. You do have living faith. Praise God. But there's something in your life that needs to be repented of. Repent today. Don't live in sin. It's miserable. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I don't know if I have living faith. I think all I've been doing is talking about it. I've just been talking about it. How about getting saved today? I'm not saying how about praying a prayer. I'm giving my life to the Lord. You know, when we get saved, we're not just getting out of hell. We're saying, God, you're my Father now. My life is yours. Produce some really good apples, God, because I want to bring you glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please take this text and would you help us to understand it even in a greater way? Father, please, if there's anyone lost here today, I pray they would recognize they need to be saved. Father, if there's anyone today in this room who's got something in the quote-unquote closet and it needs to be confessed, they don't have to bring it up here at the pulpit, but they need to bring it into your throne. They need to deal with it. We saw that verse this morning in our devotional. We know you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.